morning, we're going to hear from Africa. And it's a totally different context, but the same enemy that exhibits himself in different ways in different parts of the world. And the man that's here to proclaim the gospel to us this morning, the good news about Jesus who has taken up residence inside of us, and the truth about a real enemy that would like to wreck our marriages, wreck our lives, destroy our children, destroy our churches, destroy our hope, destroy us. The one who kills, steals, and destroys. He's come to do what Jesus did, to seek and save that which is lost and to stand against the work of the enemy. Bishop Kazimba was in the United States because the United Nations chose him as an ambassador from Uganda to represent the nation of Uganda at a conference they just had. He had an opportunity to speak about the truth of the gospel there. And then he made his way to Michigan. He was in New York, made his way to Michigan. He's here with us, and he's been with us several different times. I remember the first time that we talked about me coming from Muskegon to Fairhaven, and he heard me wrong because his accent is, he claims it's a heavenly accent. I'm not sure, but we'll go with that. So he said, what is this church called, South Heaven? And I went, if there is a South Heaven, I'd rather be a part of the North Heaven, right? So, but it's called Fairhaven. But Stephen was leading at the time, 10 years ago, when he became a bishop in Uganda. He was leading an area that had 500 churches in it. That's a lot of churches to lead. A ton of responsibility that God has given to this leader. And today, 10 years later, he's led the charge of spreading the gospel throughout the district of Mitiana to the point where they have 715 churches there, 215 church plants. And I think that's worth celebrating, giving thanks to God, right? Amen. Stephen is a dear friend of mine. He has already, my father has gone home to be with the Lord, but he claimed him as his own son. So I'd like to introduce you to Stephen Kazimba Vandermeer.
All right. Love, brother. Thank you.
I want to greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, and to thank God for my brother Greg for that wonderful introduction and the hospitality. And thank you everybody for receiving me here. It is very important that at least once in a year or twice you hear somebody preaching in this church in this very accent, because in heaven you may sit near a person who speaks this accent. And so, if you don't get used to it now, you will be bored in heaven all years long. So when I come here, I give you a chance to have an exposure of another accent, so that in heaven, where all people of all nations, of tribes gather, you will enjoy that heavenly fellowship. And now I want to bring greetings to you from my family. I have a family of 4 boys and 17 other children. But just recently, on January 5, my first son, Moses, married Esther. And also, my second son, Peter, married Rachel. The same day, in the same service. And we had a reception of 1,500 people with good appetites who came to the wedding. And it was a nice wedding. So they all sent greetings. Now we have the boys and we have 2 daughters-in-law. So thank you for your prayer. Also, I bring greetings from the diocese. We have been preaching the gospel, and the number is growing. So now we are building a new church, a cathedral, to accommodate over 2,000 people in worship. And right now, we are working on putting in doors and windows so that we can enter this church on October 27 this year, when I'm celebrating also 10 years of our ministry as a bishop. So we need your prayers so that we are able to buy the remaining windows. Each window is costing $200. We are remaining with 50 windows and 3 doors. So we appreciate you and all the people sent greetings. But also, I want to bring appreciation and gratitude to you for the ministry of helping the children through compassion projects. You know, this church is supporting around 120 children in our area through compassion. So thank you very much for blessing these children, and we are very much grateful. Also, I want to thank you very much for the school that you helped. It's called Lusaba. And that school was dedicated when you sent us a team. And I can see wonderful young ladies and men from here who came. And that school, it's called Lusaba Primary School. That's the school that you helped to build. We have many schools, and we put up these schools as people really do help us. They are church-founded schools, but government-aided, some of them are supported by people who come in for our rescue. So thank you very much. And let us go to the reading of the word of the Lord from Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. This is the word of the Lord. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tomb to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broken the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. They heard about 2,000 number rushed down the steep bank in the lake, and we are drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave the region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and he began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Father, come and bless your word, and may you speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. People like to talk about God, but I don't like to talk about Satan. People like to talk about blessings, but not curse. People like to talk about crown, but they don't want to talk about the cross. They like to talk about heaven, but not hell. They like to talk about convenience, but not conviction. People don't like to hear the word, "You are convicted." They want convenience. They don't want to talk, they want to talk about Holy Spirit, but not evil spirits. Son of light, but not son of darkness. And this is exactly what I want to share with you on the topic, demons, hidden secrets of powers of darkness. Powers of darkness. Some people do think that these things are no longer existing. Some people do think that demons are just biblical accounts of the ancient culture, which is no longer there. And even some people think that demons, witchcraft, evil spirits are just things of the past, or things which are just in Africa or Asia, but not to them. I want you to know, demons are real, and these are spiritual beings which have the ability to possess physical lives. What is the work of the demon? Satan uses much of his delegated powers to attack people through his delegated agents called the demon. And they have three missions: to discourage, to distract, and to deceive. Generally, that's the work of the devil: distracting, deceiving, discouraging the people in all their things, their plans. It is actually connected to what Jesus teaches in John chapter 10, verse 10. The evil does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. This is the work of the devil. Actually, when you read Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, it says, he comes as a destroyer. His work is to destroy and destroy lives. From the passage we have read, Mark chapter 5, it talks about Jesus' authority, Jesus' superiority, his power over three things: the power over demons, as seen in Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 20. He casted out demon is from this man. The man who had demons, they called themselves region. Region means a big unity of Roman army soldiers. They were always, that unity of soldiers was between 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. That's what is called legion. So when this man was being tortured, it means he had over 3,000 to 6,000 demons on one person. But Jesus overcame. That he threw out the demons. He has authority over demons. Also, he has authority over diseases. As we see Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 34. He healed a woman who had blood issues. Death was also overcome by Jesus. As we see Mark chapter 5, verse 35 to 43. He restored a young lady's life, the daughter of Jairus. So, the whole chapter is about Jesus' power over even the powers of darkness. And this is exactly what Jesus did. And now, I want you to be introduced more to what the devil does. And I like to quote Calvin Institute, chapter 4. He says, as angelic hosts help in God's plan, so demons are in opposition to his work, though under his control. Scriptures warn us against the adversary and equips us for combat against us. That scriptural reference to devils reminds us of the vast host of enemies against us, that we may not slacken our efforts. And references to Satan, say the kingdom of wickedness over against the kingdom of righteousness, the church of the saints over against the factions of the impious. Yet the devil stands under God's power, and Satan can only act with God's permission and sufferings. This is a quote from John Calvin. I was trained at Western Theological College. You cannot preach a sermon without talking about John Calvin. He's a great man. So, this is exactly what the devil does. But I want you to know, the devil has more work he does. Bringing suffering, confusing the mind, causing some blindness to some people, making the people tortured and tormented. And the devil takes people to dangerous places, like this man was being taken to the tomb. When people are attacked, sometimes when we are praying for people, the devil wants to take these people in fire or in the lake so that they could be drowned. Sometimes he wants to throw them in the fire so that they are burnt. The devil is responsible for many mental disorders. But I don't mean to say that every sickness, every mental disorder means demon possessed. But in many cases, what some people experience, it is the force of the evil one. Actually, I want you to know, the devil attacks people differently. In America, people are attacked differently. Listen to this statement. Every level has its devil. Every level has its devil. Tell it to your neighbor. Every level has its devil. So, whatever state, so some people may think, I think these are just superstitions and myths of the past, but it is real. Many people are being attacked by the powers of darkness, even through a number of things, even through technology, even through entertainment, even through what we see with our eyes, like David. The devil entered him, and he had to go with Uriah's wife through the eyes. So what we see with our eyes, sometimes pornography, sometimes what we read and get put in with our ears, it can be an entry point of the devil in our lives, and then we can be possessed. Some Christians may not be possessed as such, but they can be oppressed. Oppressed seriously, and they cannot even understand that this is a sin. They may not actually differentiate what is good and what is bad. Many people are under attack. And I want you to know that's the work of the devil. But the good thing is, we are more than conquerors in Him who gives us strength. Listen to this. We are in a world where we experience these things. And it confused me and confused them. In the past, in the seminary, the professors never equipped students to face these powers of darkness. They never talked about it. They talked about many things, but not that. But I want you to know, I am living in the present, and we face these things every now and again. But I also live in the future, and I have the hope. And I have the hope that the devil was defeated, as you see that statement. We belong to the future, and God has defeated the powers of darkness and given the power of His Holy Spirit. The devil's doom, we are sure of that, because he was conquered by the words of their testimonies and the blood of Jesus and the word of Jesus, as we see in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Listen to this man. He was an Archbishop of Uganda, Dr. Livingstone Nkoyoyo. This is what he said. The most dangerous thing is not to know that you don't know. Some people are being oppressed, but they say, there is nothing like the devil, nothing like evil spirit. It's no longer happening. It's not there, and that's dangerous. It is good to know that you don't know. Then you can have help. But if you don't know that you don't know, it is very dangerous. Some people may think these are just mental disorders of the past. And yet, many people are under attack. And this is one of the challenges we are facing today. I can share with you some experiences. One experience I had, which confused me, when I had just been ordained a minister, with full of energy of preaching the gospel, and in our culture, preaching the gospel, singing and jumping. Actually, right now, we are working in the cathedral and putting there tarazo, not tiles. Because when people are filled with the Holy Spirit and jump, they can break these tiles. So we try to put stones, stronger stones, so that when they worship or when we are casting out demons, the tiles will remain safe. So I was a younger man, a new pastor. I wedded a couple, and after wedding a couple, after their honeymoon, I went to see them, and the bride prepared a cup of tea for me. Uganda will take a lot of tea. because of the Britons. So she prepared a cup of tea, and after taking tea, we started singing so that I pray. And all of a sudden, I saw this woman jumping up. She looked at me and said, "Why are you coming here?" This is a lady I wedded with her husband. She was very aggressive. She removed all her dresses and clothes, and she climbed up to the roof, you know, grass such the house. There is one pole protecting the house. So she climbed, and I was here, not wondering what to do. I wasn't equipped in the seminary for that. I was recalling, what theologian can I apply here? Can I quote Macquarie or Calvert or John Calvin or Martin Luther? None of them would help me at that time. Trained as I was, I remained helpless. The woman was saying, "Get out of here," a younger girl. "Get out of her house." And here is her husband. But I remembered. I remembered the word of God. I remembered, and I started praying, "You have no authority. In the name of Jesus." I was just trying, because I had not done it before. "In the name of Jesus, get out of her." And then I saw her coming down. "Get out!" I said, "Oh, these things work in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name." So I was encouraging and said, "Get out! Get out!" Three things which helped me, and they are still helping me now. When we are casting out demons and praying for people, we cast them out in the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus, and in the word of Jesus. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of Jesus. You cannot cast out demons in any other name, whether a great president. The demon doesn't fear your money. The devil doesn't fear your education. Even when you have many degrees, the devil doesn't listen to that. The devil only fears Jesus, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of Jesus. And I saw this lady was set free. This was in 91, and even right now, I learned many people are oppressed. They need deliverance. And we have a deliverance ministry in our church. As you can see some images of what has been happening recently. You know, somebody being attacked in worship. So they were brought in a church, and we prayed for them. You can see another image also. You know, you can see that young girl in the middle of worship. She's attacked. And then we pray, because we know it's a ministry. We are called to pray and exercise our authority. We have it. Before Jesus resurrected, he said, "I give you the authority. Whoever you pray for, whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you release will be released in the name of Jesus." And we do it. I'm not talking about stories. I am talking like John, who said, "We share with you what we have heard, what we have seen, and what we have touched." This is the ministry we always do. And we know the powers of darkness are real. The dangerous thing is not to know that you don't know. But when you know, then you are ready. You cover yourself, you pray for yourself, and there are many other people, even amongst our congregations, who are oppressed. And they go to psychiatrists many times, 30 years. I don't mean to say that you shouldn't go, but why can't you try the power of Jesus and say, "Let us try this today, and you see what Jesus can do." Let us see that video. It's in a church worship. When this ministry is being done, it's not only pastors. We have even trained the lay people. Because when Jesus gave authority, the authority was not only given to pastors. Even you have authority in the name of Jesus. You have that power. We just need to take the authority, understand, because the devil's work is to intimidate. You fear and say, this cannot work. It is not working in our context. I want you to know that every level has its devil. But in Jesus, we are more than conquerors. He who is in us is stronger than he who is in the world. You have that authority. You have that power. You have that authority to pray for the people. You have it. Only that you need to exercise and say, okay, let us pray. And I know there are many people who are being oppressed, even in this context, but they don't know how to be set free. Let me conclude by giving you these things which are very important for this ministry. Prayer and fasting is very important to prepare you. Praying in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of Jesus. Also, worship, as you saw, this is a powerful worship this morning. And you saw those young people worshiping. When you are casting out demons, you don't just say, in Jesus' name, oh, Father, we are here. It's not a joke. It's a battle. You pray, and others are singing because there is a power in music, in worship. When Paul and Silas were in prison, they just worshipped, just singing, and the chains were fell off from them. Worship. When we are doing deliverance, we sing. Joshua and others took over Jericho by singing and went around it. There is power in singing. Not rock music or what, it is Jesus' music. Because in worship there is the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of Jesus is mentioned as you sing, right? And that is the power. So always use that. And also, sins must be confessed. Because unconfessed sins can always be a hindering block to restoration of life and also deliverance ministries. I want to pray that God bless you and keep you. I want to pray that God will continue to care about you. I want to pray that go encouraged and pray for yourself and others, always covering yourself in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of Jesus. God bless you and keep you.